good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon here, KY6V for South Cars, and this is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Mike, KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such, and all stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control this evening is going to be Kathy, K6SUN. My name is Gordon, as mentioned before, KY6V, and I'm just introducing the net for her this evening. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, please call now. Okay. How about birthdays? Anybody celebrating a birthday here this close to Christmas? Today, yesterday, last week, this coming week? We'd love to bring you up forward, put you on the first of the program, and congratulate you. If so, call now. Okay, well, you know, the standard comment on that, we're not getting any older. This is the South Cars VOIP Global Family Hour, and the intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member's station. And our program for this evening is all about winter, the winter wonderland. Now let's advise all stations connected that this net tonight may be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. And all stations participating will be part of that recording. Without further ado, good evening, Kathy. Hope everything in your neighborhood is to your liking. K6SUN from KY6V, over.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so much, Gordon, for starting the program this evening. Let me drop it here for just a moment. All right, once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I just had a little chatter in the background on another computer, so I wanted to drop it for a moment. But we sure appreciate you taking your time this evening to join us during this busy, busy time of the year. You know, because yesterday, along with celebrating my final day before Christmas break from school, and with today, the start of winter, which actually started at 12:11 Eastern Daylight Time, we also want to celebrate the winter and what we call winter solstice. I wanted this evening to talk about winter solstice along with winter fun, winter and Christmas vacations. Do you like winter and winter activities and anything related to winter? You know, us here in Florida, however, have a very different type of winter than those from the far north or the east or the middle west. We very rarely experience the white stuff, but we have been experiencing some cold mornings. And this coming week, after Christmas, we will also be cooler during the day. Between Christmas Day and the very next day, I believe it's going to go plummet about 20 degrees. High today was 85, and it's currently still 81 here, with lows in the 60s for this evening. So our weather is almost summer-like. So winter for some is something all of us usually look forward to, namely Thanksgiving and Christmas and Groundhog Day and Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, and many others. Let me drop it here for a short moment. You know, the days become both cooler and shorter, the sun may or may not shine, and the school holidays provide us plenty of time to go out and enjoy ourselves, or in my case, to simply relax. Although colder weather for some may be fun, I do not like the cold weather. We in Florida do not like our temperatures to go much below 70. We like to spend more time outside, but the sun rays can harm our bodies. For those who live in the colder temps, there are some things you need to do to protect yourself, and we hope to share some of these thoughts with you this evening. The winter solstice marks the shortest day and the longest night of the year. So with nothing further, we're going to begin our program this evening by first asking for check-ins. So here are some thoughts for you to ponder as you check in. And give us any of your thoughts and comments and experiences. If the early winter gloom is getting to you, take comfort that the days are about to start getting longer. What do you do for fun during the winter? Do you enjoy driving and shoveling snow? Do you like winter, and if so, why? Or just share any comments or check in to say hi. We'd love to hear from you. So before I ask for check-ins, I'm once again going to drop it for just a moment. Here's one final thought for you before I ask for check-ins. The solstice happens at the same instant for all of us, everywhere on Earth, but our clocks just say different times. So with nothing further, how about some check-ins to begin our program this evening?
RMO.
X-ray Charlie X-ray.
Victor X-ray Papa.
All right, at this moment I have three check-ins. I have my backup, KC2RMO, from Syracuse, which I understand is just having rain now, but I think he's going to tell us about his weather. I have you, Woody, a neighbor as well here in Florida, probably nice temperatures. And I have BXP, Mr. Rick, up there in Ohio. Do I have anyone else that would like to be the first to check in this evening? If so, I'd sure like to add you to my list. All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Gary. First of all, you can tell everyone how warm you got today and maybe how the temperatures are going down, but talk to us about winter. Do you enjoy it, and what do you do during winter, or anything you'd like to share? Gary, please come aboard.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and hello, Gordon, and hello, everybody, and where did our winter go? We were in the upper 50s today in Syracuse, New York, if you can believe that. That was really something to see, and it's 39 degrees right now. We have heavy rain tonight. We're going to have heavy rain tomorrow. There are flood warnings out all over the place. But they do say that sometime Tuesday, Tuesday during the day, it's going to snow. So we've got a pretty good shot at a white Christmas, even though it's all gone now. So we'll see, you know, kind of hoping for that. But, wow, what do you do? What do you enjoy to do? First of all, do I like winter? You know, now, my dear wife, my lovely love of my life sitting over here across the room is, and you heard her, she hates winter. I love winter. I do. I think it's great. I live for the big storms. Now that I'm retired, I love it even more. I do. I look for the big storms. I love getting ready for it. I love doing all that winter preparedness stuff. I didn't even mind when the rope start on the snowblower broke the other day, because it's got an electric start anyway, so who cares? But, I mean, you know, things like that. I've lived so many Syracuse winters, it's like you learn to appreciate it. You know, it's something that is in you. So for me, anyway, I enjoy it. There are those certainly who don't. So everybody's got a little opinion. But I'm really getting excited about Christmas right about now, too. Let me just buy a nickel. I have been, I got to get some pictures of it. The house looks great, even though it's all green out there. We've got some great lights this year. Everything looks super out there, and I think we've got the best looking house on Tasia Ave for Christmas this year. I think so. I think if they were going to give out awards, we'd have to get it. It looks good. It's classy. It looks good. So I've been doing that, and of course, I've been keeping my hands extra clean June this year because we're getting very close to Christmas, and Christmas just wouldn't be Christmas without sanitary claws. Back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Cute, Gary. Santa Claus, huh? But I think you're still on that naughty list, so you must have done something bad this year. You love winter. Stephanie hates winter. You both want to move to Florida, so you got to try to think about that. But you well know that I do not like winter. I was born and raised in the great state of Michigan, and I'm not sure I could go back there for any length of time. However, my son loves it. My paraprofessional that works with me in my classroom had a death in her family. She had to go to Ortonville in Michigan. When she landed, she said it was freezing rain, 30 degrees, but she just loves it. So all I have to say, Gary, is I do not like snow, and I do not like cold. So please keep it up in your general area. But thanks for checking in. And as we go through tonight, we're going to talk about some of the customs, and maybe you can share some of that with us as well, and hopefully you'll share that picture with me as well. So check in at any point you have some further comments, and of course that lovely wife can check in and talk about winter as well. So with that, I'm going to go all the way down to Florida, Mount Dora, and pick up Mr. Woody, XCX. Woody, tell us how you like winter, or what you do in the winter. Do you go to winter sports? Do you go out and play in the snow with the grandkids? Or do you just stay indoors and enjoy the warmth that's inside? So, Mr. Woody, please come aboard.
First of all, Ms. Kessler, I wanted to say happy solstice to you. I think today is it. Okay. And then I wanted to tell you that I grew up on the Gulf Coast, in a little town called Pasadena, Texas, between Houston and Galveston. Their winters are about like ours are here. It's about 78 degrees here now. And we here being Mount Dora, you know, real close to you. And it looks like it's going to get down to only about 65 tonight, so it's still going to be warm, and it's going to be a 60% chance of rain on Monday, so count on it, that's a pretty good chance. Anyway, but that'll be all over with by Christmas. And Christmas Day is the day when my 5-day forecast gets off, so I don't know if it's going to get cold after that or not.
Well, thank you, Woody, for coming aboard and sharing that with us, where you grew up. I think if I've looked at the weather, it's going to be in my area about 85 degrees, I think, tomorrow, 80 maybe the next. I think it's the day after Christmas, but maybe it's the day before. I think it's the day after. It sort of plummets about 20 degrees. It goes from 85 down to 65, but that's still okay. It's still not in the 20s and the 30s. My son, who lives way up in the top part of Michigan, the lower part, I think has had 7 below this past week. But like I said, everyone that lives up north, most of them just love it. So thank you, Woody. Hopefully that you'll enjoy the program as I talk about the solstice and maybe the customs. And also want to hear from you again and see what you do to enjoy a winter here in Florida. So with that, Mr. Rick, I'm going to pick you up. N1VXP, please come aboard and share with us about your winter activities.
This is N1TXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. I have the feeling, the way things are going now, that we've already had winter. We've had our 10 degrees, had our snow, and had our ice a little bit. Currently, we're at 60. We had a high of 61 today, and we've had some off and on pretty heavy rain. It's currently raining right now. Supposed to just get down to 60 tonight, and they're talking 63 tomorrow. Now wait a minute. This is winter. That is not winter weather. And they say we're under a 30 to 40% chance for tornadoes, which I don't really want to see, but only hear about something like that usually in the summertime, never in the winter. And as far as winter activities, I don't mind if we have the snow. I just don't like the freezing rain. Temperature-wise, I can deal with about 20 as a low for daytime activities, running around. But I don't really care for when the snow hits and then it melts, and during the night it freezes up, and like the next day it's all ice. Really hard to get around in, and you know, if it just would stay at one constant temperature throughout the winter, below freezing, it would be okay. But like I say, when it warms up, gets really slushy, and then it freezes up overnight, and the next day it's ice. Let me drop for a second. And something I saw on the Weather Channel. Now this is their long-range forecast. January. They're saying that most of the country is going to be warmer than normal. And I'm thinking, okay, warmer than normal, probably in the 40s, 50s in some areas. And only hotter in the area of states right around, including Texas. But colder, only the upper part of Minnesota, upper area of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. So if we already had our cold weather for the winter so far, for this month, I won't mind January going through warmer. You know, we may get the rain, but hopefully not too cold the temperatures at night. Because I've seen temperatures in January of minus 10 to minus 15. Don't really like to see that. That's usually an indication of we don't need an ice storm to lose power. We've had it happen when the coldest nights, we end up losing power for several hours during the night. And really makes it kind of rough. Oh, I forgot to mention, some of our high temperatures, like yesterday, we had a high temperature of 57. But that occurred at 11.05 p.m. Low temperature of 48 was at 9.45 a.m. Just doesn't make sense that we get high temperatures in the evening or overnight and low temperatures during the day. Kind of strange. N1GXP, back to net control.
Well, Rick, I can tell you this right now. Your winter is not over. You live in the frigid north. You're just seeing some warmer weather right now. But, you know, February is usually the roughest month up there in the state of Michigan. Even though you've got some nice temps right now, I can almost guarantee it will probably be plummeting. Like I said, hopefully you'll have a white Christmas if that's what you desire. And hopefully it'll be nice and warm for you, but I can almost guarantee it's probably not going to be that way. Well, thank you, those of you who have checked in. I'm going to throw it out there once again and see if we have any other check-ins to talk about your winter activities, what you like to do. Do you like to build a fire and just stay indoors? Do you like to go out and play in the snow? If you don't have snow, maybe you just like winter. Tell us about those winters in your household before I continue and actually explain to you a little bit about the solstice. So do I have any other check-ins at this point?
Victor Hotel.
All right, Mr. Steve, I heard you tell Gordon you were watching your grandson as your wife went to the store. She's either rather quick or your grandson is busy doing something so we could get you on the radio. Tell us about your winter, and it's probably not as bad as up north, I am sure. Maybe temperatures are a little cooler than here in South Florida. But tell us what you like to do during winter. You like any winter sports or any winter activities, but share with us this evening.
Well, good evening, Kathy, and good evening to everyone on board the net. My wife and I really don't consider this location here in Louisiana to really have a winter. It gets cold enough to drop a few leaves and turn the grass brown, but from our standpoint, there's no real winter here. There's just a pleasant cooling off period. But some of the things that they try to do here, I've mentioned Snow Day recently. They work real hard to bring that Christmas spirit in time for the holiday. But that's all that's on my mind tonight. So, Kathy, I'll say Merry Christmas, and back to you, KF5VH.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours, Steve, and thanks all that you're doing for South Cars with the website. I've enjoyed looking through it as you've made the changes, and it looks really nice and warm and friendly. I hope that your household has a very nice holiday season and safe holiday season, and that you have some good feasts out there when Christmas time comes around. But at any point you want to jump back in, if you don't have activities that don't allow that, we sure hope to hear from you once again. But happy holidays in case we don't talk again. And hopefully maybe you'll be around there on Christmas Eve Day so that you can check in to that Santa Express, which we'll be talking about later. Let me drop it here for a moment, and I'm going to tell you, as we continue, what exactly a solstice is, in case you're not aware of it. So let me drop it for a moment. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is the Family Global Hour, where we're talking about winter activities, winter weather, and part of that is the winter solstice. You know, winter inspires both joy and woe. Some people can't wait for the cooler weather, the snow, the skiing and the ice skating, the curling up by a fire, enjoying winter sports and winter activities and the holiday spirit. Other people dislike these frigid temperatures, the blizzards and the wild weather, like those of us who live in Florida and even some of you who live up north. Remember, I said earlier that winter began today at 12:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tomorrow will be the very first full day of winter for everyone. The word solstice comes from the Latin words for sun and to stand tall. In the northern hemisphere, as summer advances to winter, the points in the horizon where the sun rises and sets advance southward each day. The high point in the sun's daily path across the sky, which occurs at local noon, also moves southward each day. At the winter solstice, the sun's path has reached its southernmost position. The next day, the path will advance northward. However, a few days before and after the winter solstice, the change is so slight that the sun's path seems to stay the same or stand still, which is how it got its name. The sun is directly overhead at high noon on winter solstice at the latitude called the Tropic of Cancer. In the northern hemisphere, the solstice days are the days with the fewest hours of sunlight during the whole year. You can notice the late dawns and the early sunsets and the low arc of the sun across the sky each day. You might even notice how low the sun appears in the sky at noon. The earliest people on Earth knew the sun's path across the sky, the length of daylight, and the location of the sunrise and sunset all shifted in a regular way throughout the year. Let me pause here for a moment. You know, they built monuments such as Stonehenge to follow the sun's yearly progress. But we today see the solstice differently. We can picture it from the vantage point of space as an astronomical event caused by the Earth's tilt on its axis and its motion in orbit around the sun. Solstice is everywhere in nature. For all of Earth's creatures, nothing is so fundamental as the length of daylight. After all, the sun is the ultimate source of all light and warmth on Earth. This winter solstice is related to three other important days in the year. We have the summer solstice and we have two equinoxes, spring and autumn. While the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year and the summer is the longest, both the spring and autumn equinoxes have days and nights that are exactly equal. They each have exactly 12 hours of daylight and darkness. Now, before we continue on, do I have any check-ins at this point? Who would like to come aboard?
Six, Victor.
Whiskey Delta Tango.
All right, thank you so much, gentlemen. And I have the little comment in the text box, Mr. Gary, about the Chevy Equinox. You'll have to share that with us, because I think it's not a Chevy that you're looking forward to buying one of these days. But I have Mr. Gary, I have Six Victor, and I have Dan, WDT, checking in at this point. Do I have any others before I call on these gentlemen that would like to check in at this point? All right, hearing nothing, Mr. Gary, tell us about the Chevy Equinox, and what else would you like to share with us this evening?
Well, actually, I'm a Ford man. You know, I'm not interested in that Equinox. Seriously, I might consider a Grand Cherokee, but you know, definitely a Ford man. Not into that Equinox at all. But I saw the opportunity for a bad pun, so I took it. I mean, you know, in that sort of mood. But I had a question, or just an observation. You know, when you were mentioning how folks back in ancient times, you know, they knew the movement, they knew, they took meticulous notes of how, you know, the day progressed, where you know, the position of the sun would be on one day versus another day and everything. And that's pretty amazing that they had nothing to work with other than their own eyes, you know, and experience. You know, things were handed down from I don't know. I mean, maybe you do know. You know, was there like an appointed guy to watch the sky? You know, and did he hand his knowledge down to the next guy to watch the sky? That sort of thing. I wonder about that. You know, they pre-astronomers. You know, I know in ancient times, they had people that they called astronomers, and you know, they would note the planets in the sky at night, and they would note the position of the sun during the day. But I guess, did every village have one of these? Did they pass that knowledge down? It kind of made me think. So any comments on that that you might have, that'd be kind of cool. And I will turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you for asking that, Gary. And, you know, way back in the ancient times, they didn't have the busy lives like all of us do. They didn't have much else they could do except grow crops. And so maybe they had just what you're saying. I know they had sun gods. And so they had probably more technology than we're even thinking about to build, Stonehenge, and to build the sundials. So I'm going to go into a little bit more further on, and if that doesn't answer your question as we conclude this evening, we'll definitely have to do some research. But remember, their lives were not busy. They didn't go to college and have to worry about finishing those 8-week courses, and they didn't have busy lives. They didn't have to worry about driving in the snow or the ice. So they had all that time to develop things like Stonehenge and those sundials. But hopefully you'll come back aboard with that nice humor you have. And I knew it was a Ford that you were talking about. So with that, I'll break with you temporarily, and I'll pick up Six Victor and see what he can share with us this evening.
Well, hi, Kathy. Hello, Gary and everybody assembled. Gordon here, KY6V. I'm still trying to think out what you were talking about there, Gary. Chevy Equinox. How about a Ferrari Equinox? You know, I've already lived through a Jaguar Equinox. I had a 54 Jag XK120, the most gorgeous car I've ever had. It had 14 layers of bronze paint on it, and it could do faster than you could handle the car. Talking about winter, Kathy, the only thing that I can say is I've been down, I had to sit back and calculate this, but I've been down here in Florida for 43 years. Now, I was born in the Hawaiian Islands. I was raised in California. Spent a short time in Wisconsin and threw a winter up there, and I said, boy, this is not for me, and ended up in Miami. But I woke up this morning, and it was 61 degrees, and I says, I can feel this. Winter is here. Now, everybody up north is probably just laughing their tail off with that comment. But after 43 years down here, guys and gals, your blood thins out. And when it gets cold, you know it. Back to you, Kathy, KY6V, and thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Gordon. You know, you are, I think, 150 miles, 130 miles north of me in Vero Beach. And actually, you were warmer than I was today. And that's really strange. The further south you go in Florida, it should be getting warmer. But I think you are a little warmer. And possibly you're going to be a little bit cooler than I in a few days. But, you know, when I got up this morning, I decided to open the door just so Miss Cuddles could take a walk outside. And she walked outside, and it was about 61. I left it open for a short time and then closed it because I've only lived here for 6 years, but I think my blood is thinning. I don't think I could go into those cold temperatures. But thanks for coming aboard. Hopefully you'll come back aboard and share any comments. And I'm sure Gary will have some interesting comments. He's got that sense of humor. So with that, I'll break with you, Mr. Gordon. Thanks for being here today and for everything you do for South Cars. I'm going to pick up Dan, W4WDT. Dan, come aboard. Talk to us about winter and your location and how winter is in your area. And I think I was looking you up, and I think you're... I'm trying to think. You're in the state of Georgia, so you're possibly just a little cooler than I am, or maybe not. Come aboard. Share with us about winter in your area, in your household, and what's your thoughts on that time of year.
Yes, good evening, Kathy. Long time no hear. Well, my thoughts on winter is happened to light winter, believe it or not. Of course, we don't get very much winter. I'm located here in Georgia in the southeast corner here. We're about 50 miles southwest of Savannah, Georgia, here in the big little city of Baxley. So we get down in, sometimes down into the 20s maybe. We have been in the teens before, but mostly we get down around freezing, 32. During the winter season, but I have to enjoy the winter season. There's a newness in the air. It's brisk and crisp, and you can just smell all the freshness, and I enjoy it. I really do. We have a lot of high humidity here, as you know about that, here in our part of the world, and it gets kind of stopped up and sticky during the summer times, and winter is just a refreshing season. Hadn't seen no snow here in Georgia since, I guess, maybe 2008, somewhere around there, 2009. We've been living in this location since 2008, and I know it did snow around Christmas 1 year. Seemed like it may have been 2009, maybe 2010. Don't know, but it's nice. I mean, it's not too cold. Don't have to worry about shoveling no snow, that's for sure. But we really enjoy it. This is the time of season that family normally gets together, people that you haven't seen all year. If you got loved ones that live way off, got a sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and a nephew that's coming in from Virginia that we don't get to see, but maybe once or twice a year. Sometimes we go on vacation with them in the summertime, and we meet halfway up the East Coast there, but so they're coming down, and other family members, and just a joyous time. It really is. I really enjoy it. Usually during the summer, everybody's kind of doing their own thing, going to the beach, you know, that kind of thing. But wintertime brings family together, and that's what I love about it. I have lots of little small nieces and nephews that I really like to go and be with. With that, Kathy, I was not going to keep real long. In fact, the my daughter, Courtney, she's 15, and she just brought my supper in, as we say here in the South, and for all y'all sophisticated folks, dinner. So I'm going to go get a bite, but I'll be listening in the background. I might jump in a little bit later, though. And anyway, Merry Christmas to everyone, and a Happy New Year. And 7-3, Kathy, we'll catch you next time. W4WDT.
Well, thank you so much, Dan, for joining us this evening. It's been a long time, and I think with all of our lives, we get real busy. And I will agree about winter. It's a time when it brings in newness. It's just something I had been used to for so many years, and I really didn't like winter. I'm not a winter person, winter sports. I always froze. So when I moved to Florida, not seeing, it's not so much the white stuff, but the cold. I think, got rid of my ice scraper and all my winter coats and my long johns and my boots, and all I ever wear anymore, Dan, is sandals. So thanks for being there, and go ahead and eat your supper. And, you know, we're going to make a comment a little bit later. Our Santa Express, which we do every year with Mrs. Claus, will be on the Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve Day at 12 o'clock noon, and we'll share that with everyone. It may be a time that you want to just come aboard and have any family members to come aboard and talk to Mrs. Claus. Thank you, Dan, so much for being here, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon. I am going to go a little bit north of me, someone I haven't seen in a while, to wish him and his a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, but hope to see you. Mr. George, KW4LCB, I heard you on the net this morning going over to the beach to see all the gals in the bikinis. So you tell me what you do for winter and how you enjoy winter and winter activities. KW4LCB, please come aboard.
Well, evening time, Miss Cassie, and KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo, and, you know, as far as Gordon and Gary there about the Jaguar, you know, that bird egg and that engine's Jaguar, so maybe that kind of answers their question there. Put that one to rest, because it'll do it. But a top of the evening to you, you know, let me say through the eyes of a conch there, you know, what can I say? Winter, it's great, you know. I get cold a few times, but over the years we learned to contend with it. Have enjoyed it both the north and the south there, and you know, winter and the solstice puts so many things in motion. You know, we get caught up in the world we're at, you know, and don't realize we're really a lot of your hunting resorts. That's their time of the year where they're able to subsidize their incomes. And, you know, for me, as a fisherman, winter was very important to us there. You know, your fish migrate, you know, from the north, and you can follow them right down. And, of course, with the winter, you've got seas a little bit bigger there, and the wind's a little bit stronger. Let me pause for the cause. But nevertheless, you know, you have your king mackerel and your tunas and your bonitas and the beautiful colors and you know, and that's the only way to really see the beauty that it was laid out for us to enjoy and to use as we saw fit there, and not just out in the you know the waters there, you know, but also on the land, the different flower changes from northern flowers to tropical island flowers, and the way the different animals react. You know, I'm amazed every winter because I'm able to notice something that I didn't the winter before. A beautiful time of the year, and yeah, sometimes I got to put me a couple, three pairs of them long drawers on, you know, and a couple jackets, you know. But great day. It's still a wonderful day in the neighborhood, and I sure hope it's a wonderful evening in yours. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to Net Control.
Well, George, thanks so much for joining us this evening. It's been a while since we have talked, and I hope that all is going well with the Twinkles and awaiting Mr. Claus and enjoying the season. But, you know, winter is a nice time of the year, and you remember, I think I've talked about it a lot when I lived in the state of Michigan, is this is the time of the year I'd make a trip down here during a Christmas break to scuba dive. And you know, it was the very first time I did that, it was during December, and it was such like you're talking about, the fish and the waters and the animals. It was just so refreshing to be down in Florida during that winter time. But thanks, George, for coming aboard and sharing those thoughts and those comments with us. And maybe you'll come back aboard as we continue in the program on talking about customs and that. Maybe you can tell us about the customs wintertime in Key West. So thank you, everyone that's come aboard and shared with us this evening. But I will say one thing when you talk about socks. George, I haven't worn socks in a very long time. Sometimes in February, my feet get cold. But I don't really own too many of those socks, and definitely no long johns anymore. So with that, let me drop it here for a moment, and I'm going to continue on. You know, the December solstice's varying dates are mainly due to the calendar system. The Gregorian calendar, which is used in most Western countries, has 365 days in a common year and 366 days in a leap year. However, the tropical year, which is the length of time the sun takes to return to the same position in the season's cycle, is different to the calendar year. The tropical year is approximately 365.24 days, but varies from year to year because of the influence of other planets. The exact orbital and daily rotational motion of the Earth, such as the wobble in the Earth's axis, also contributes to the changing solstice dates. It's important to note that Earth does not move at a constant speed, therefore the seasons are not of equal length. The relative position of the Earth's axis to the sun changes during the cycle of the seasons. This is the reason why the sun's height above the horizon changes throughout the year. It is also responsible for the seasons through controlling the intensity and duration of sunlight received at various locations around the planet. Let me drop it here for a moment. You know, the key to understanding the winter solstice is not to focus on the time of the sunset or the sunrise. The key is to focus on what is called true solar noon, the time of day that the sun reaches its highest point in its journey across the sky. In early December, true solar noon comes nearly 10 minutes earlier by the clock than it does at the solstice around December 21st. With true noon coming later on the solstice, so will the sunrise and the sunset. It's this discrepancy between clock time and sun time that causes the earliest sunset and the earliest sunrise to precede the December solstice. The precise date of the earliest sunset depends on your latitude. At mid-northern latitude, it comes in early December each year. At northern temperate latitudes farther north, such as Canada and Alaska, the year's earliest sunset comes around mid-December. Close to the Arctic Circle, the earliest sunset and the December solstice occur on or near the same day. So with that, let's see if we have some more check-ins before we actually go into some of those customs anyone anywhere want to come aboard to our Family Global Hour this evening?
Victor Hotel, recheck.
Delta Foxtrot, Papa.
All right, right now I have Victor Hotel, and welcome tonight, Bill. It's been a long time, DFP. Anyone else that would like to come aboard and check in at this point? What we've talked about, activities, or make any comments. So anyone anywhere want to be added to this list, come aboard. All right, I'm going to pick up both these gentlemen, VH, Mr. Steve. What would you like to share with us, and thanks for your recheck this evening.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Gordon mentioned blood thinning, and I was just going to echo that it's not an imaginary thing. It does exist. When we first came down from the northern latitudes, I was fine. I could be outside 60 degrees. People here were starting to take out their light jackets. And it was almost funny to see people in the 60s pulling out their jackets. And here we are more than a few years later. And it gets down where the first digit is a 6, and I'm looking for my windbreaker too. So that blood thinning, it really occurs and was a real surprise to me. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
Well, you know, Steve, I agree. When I first came down to Florida for that to Christmas time to go scuba diving from the north, you know, I saw everyone down here in heavy, heavy coats, sweatshirts, boots, long pants, and I too was out there in shorts, and I couldn't understand why they were dressed so warm when they lived in this warm temperature. And now I understand, you know, the blood thinning like you're talking about and Gordon's talking about has happened to myself. I still see these people when we get down in the sometimes the 40s and the 50s out there in shorts and, you know, a very little bit of clothing. And I say, you're not from this area, you are from the north. So thanks for sharing that with us, and I hope that you're enjoying what we've talked about this evening, and we have much more to go on. So with that, I'm going to break with you, Steve, and I'm going to pick up you, Bill, W4DFP. It's been a long, long time. I think I heard you on the radio a little while ago with Gordon. And but we miss hearing you. So thanks for joining our session this evening. What do you do in your household for winter? Do you enjoy, I know you're in Florida, do you enjoy winters in Florida? Have you ever lived up north? And what exactly do you do for winter? And you may want to tell us if you're prepared for Christmas, which is a few days away. So thanks for coming aboard, Bill, and come aboard and share with us this evening.
Good evening, Kathy, and everyone on South Cars. And yeah, it's been a long time for various and sundry reasons that I won't get into right now, but I'm looking at you with one eye. I had a retina detached. Had some surgery on my eye, and that caused a retina detachment, and now I'm kind of one-eyed for a while anyway. Hopefully they'll get it seeing a little better. But Anyhow, I wind up getting a cold. That's what I do in the wintertime. I catch a cold, and I'm usually very uncomfortable in the wintertime here in Florida. The last comment I can relate to that, as a matter of fact, my wife and I went out tonight to get a snack or something for dinner, and we always carry our jacket with us. I believe it's up here it's 70-some-odd degrees, 75 degrees or thereabouts. Doesn't make any difference. I carry my jacket with me because chances are wherever we go to eat, it's going to be chilly inside. And, yeah, so, well, we, I really don't look forward to the winter as some people do. I look forward to the summertime when it's nice and warm. Well, listen, it's good to be back in again. Hopefully I'll be able to check in more often. And we keep heading down. I've been down in your neck of the woods quite frequently in the last, for the last year, I guess, going to a retina guy down there in Coral Gables. And but I tell you what, the traffic down there is something else. Anyway, Kathy, back to you, and good evening to all. This is W4 Delta Foxtrot, Papa Bill in DeBary, Florida, 1801.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I think I remember the conversation with you and Gordon. You were talking about your retina, and doesn't sound real good, but hopefully things will repair on their own, and you'll be back to your fantastic self. But, you know, I was in a place today that one of the persons liked it cold and the other was freezing, and I was actually freezing as well. I think a lot of people in Florida are so used to the air that they don't understand that some people get really, really cold. So I usually, in the schools, have to take a sweater. Not as bad as it was in previous years, where I actually had to take a blanket because it was so cold. But, you know, I went into CVS today, cashier, young man. He said he was born and raised in New Jersey, but has lived in Florida for quite some time. And he says every time the weather changes, it goes up and gets down, he gets a cold or he gets sinus and he just feels under the weather. He says we need to have a real winter soon where it actually goes down. And he says to destroy all that mold and mildew that may be in the grasses. So I hear that quite often from people. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming aboard during this session. Before I continue, I'm going to talk about customs. Let's see if we have anyone else that would like to make some comments here before I move on. So at this point, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November and the Family Global Hour. We're talking about winter and winter activities. Is there anyone else who would like to come aboard?
RMO.
All right, Mr. RMO. I thought you were busy in the text box and away from the radio, but thanks for coming aboard. Once again, what's your comment? And I hope that you are learning a little bit about the solstice in case you didn't know it. But we're going to start talking about some of those traditions and customs. And hopefully you'll learn something you didn't know. Gary, please come aboard.
Well, thanks, Kath, once again. And was just thinking. You made me think. I'm starting to do some recollections on winter's past. And I was thinking back to probably if you're a long-term Syracusan, you'll remember the blizzard of 1966. The blizzard of 66 was kind of the benchmark that we measure all big snowstorms here by. It was 44 inches of snow over 3 days, which is a lot, but it doesn't, you see that elsewhere, and it doesn't seem to be anything that would shut down a city for a week. But that's exactly what it did here. It shut down the entire city for a week, and because we had some strong winds on that, and that 3.5 feet of snow whipped up a lot higher in the drifts, and it was drifting, you know, halfway up to the second story on people's houses here in the city, and they were running snowmobiles to bring supplies to, you know, the old folks and the sick folks, and they, you know, had the National Guard plowing out the streets and everything like that. Great storm, absolutely a great storm. Yeah, George is danger, danger, Will Robinson. It was really crazy. But you're evoking images of that in my mind again. So it was a pretty cool time. And that's one of the things you do. Let me just buy a nickel. If you're one of those warped long-term Syracusans, you kind of keep hoping for that to happen again because it was absolutely awesome. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, Gary, every time you said Syracusan, I actually wonder if that's such a word, but I suppose it is. You're from Syracuse. And I was going to make this just in jest to you that it sometimes it's not good for you to think. But, you know, recently you have been going through classes, and maybe you should do one of those history classes or science classes so you can actually tell us a little more about the changes in weather and why it happens. And I actually thought of doing a net on that. Why do we have snow, and why do we have rain, and why do we have the snowflakes and the sleet? But I remember every time I talked to Sean, and sometimes that's hard because he starts work at 4 o'clock in the morning and usually goes almost 20 hours, and sometimes at night he gets off about 8. He always says, I got another foot of snow, got another foot of snow. So I'm not sure how much snow they have at this point, but probably an awful lot. Thank you, Gary, for coming aboard. But I remember where I grew up in Michigan, and I remember one year, I don't know if it was 64, or we had about 4 feet of snow and you couldn't get out the door. So haven't seen that since. Don't look forward to seeing that in the future either. So with that, let me drop it here, and I'm going to continue a little bit into our customs before I once again ask for check-ins. All right, before I continue on, I have a request for a check-in. KY6V, please come back aboard.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Just a couple of quick thoughts here. Gordon, KY6V. You know, talking about the weather, that would be a great program for South Cars. You know, lots involved with that. Global warming, jet stream antics, Arctic and North Atlantic oscillations, crazy stuff. And I want to tell you, Kathy, that I picked up on this Syracuseism, or however he pronounced it. It sounded like a deadly disease in winter to me. And I just want to leave you with one note. I'm a guy that thinks this way, Kathy, and those assemble. I would rather sweat to death than freeze to death any day. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V.
Well, thank you for that, Gordon. And you know, I would have said years back that would not be myself. I don't like the cold, but I didn't like the heat. And I think my very first year in Florida, it was hard on me because the temperatures were so extreme in the summertime, but I've adjusted rather well, and I too would rather have that heat than that cold. And I think back to, I'm not sure, it was 3 years ago or so, I went to the Orlando Ham Fest and absolutely froze because it was so cold. Gary says Syracusian, and I think when you live in a certain area, like Michigander, that's Michigan. I'm not sure what Indiana, I'm not sure what Ohio is, but that would be another great topic. But Syracusian sounded like, yes, some kind of disease. So with that, I hope that everyone is enjoying, Mr. Steve up there in Indiana. And I know that's where you came from, Steve. You came from one Lafayette to another Lafayette, and I know they're called the Hoosiers up there, but you're right, it's not a Indian, something like that. So with that, let me continue. We're going to talk about some of the customs out there, and actually a great net would be about talking about weather, the different types of weather, and that weather that you prefer. So that's something in the future. And if you haven't checked on our January programs, check them out. There's some different type of nets we're planning to do. Let me take a pause here and let me continue on with our customs. Now, Gary, here's where we're going back to those ancient Romans. You know, they celebrate a winter solstice with a festival called Saturnalia, dedicated to Saturn, their god of agriculture. Now, for those of you who were involved in the trivia this month, do you remember this festival? Do you remember us talking about that? In the early 4th century, the Roman Emperor Constantine declared that Christianity would be the new faith of the Roman Empire. The Saturnalia was given a new name and meaning. Saturnalia, now as the birthday of Christ, of Jesus and was from that time on known as Christmas, or Christmas as we know it today. This is why many of the Christmas customs, like the Christmas tree and the Yule log, have more to do with the winter solstice than they do with Christian doctrine. Some even believe that the symbol of Santa Claus may originally have been a solstice shaman who officiated at the rites that took place on winter solstice. I'm going to go into a little bit talking about the different customs here, but let me drop it here for just a moment. The Hindus held festivals on the solstices and the equinox too. In northern India, the people greeted the winter solstice with a ceremonial clanging of bells and gongs to frighten off evil spirits. Winter solstice was once a frightening time for ancient people, especially those who lived in places like northern Europe. They did not have a scientific explanation for the shorter days and the longer nights. They were afraid that the sun was losing its power. So they made up tales to explain what was happening and performed rituals to save the sun and restore its strength. They were certain that these rituals worked because, sure enough, the sun then became stronger and stronger and the nights shorter and shorter. They eventually had to repeat this process, but it worked every time. The winter solstice marked victory of light over darkness, or the end of the cycle of death and decay, and the beginning of a new cycle of light, growth, and life. And this is what George was talking about. It has traditionally been a time for people to celebrate the gradual lengthening of the days and the regeneration of the earth. Worldwide, interpretation of the event has varied from culture to culture, but most northern hemisphere cultures have held a recognition of rebirth involving holidays, festivals, gatherings, rituals, and other celebrations around that time. So the December solstice has influenced the lives of many people over the centuries, particularly through art, literature, mythology, and religion. Let me pause here for just a moment. In the Northern Hemisphere, the December solstice occurs during the coldest season of the year. Although the winter was regarded as a season of dormancy, darkness, and cold, the coming of lighter days after the winter solstice brought in a more festive mood. To many people, this return of the light was a reason to celebrate that nature's cycle was continuing. You know, fire is the traditional way that winter solstice has been celebrated because it symbolizes the sun and its warmth. The sun is believed to have its powers increased as the days grow longer. So before I continue, I'd like to throw it out there once again to see if I have any check-ins. I have two text boxes here. We're talking about Indiana Hoosiers, Ohio Buckeyes, and Mr. Gary is talking about Syracusians, Rochesterians, Uticanians, Albanians. So, if you have any comments here as well, you're welcome to come aboard. So, anyone, anywhere, please come aboard and share your comments.
RMO.
Will conchologists work?
All right, I have to. Conchologist, I like that, George. That is good. That brought special meaning to me. So I have two check-ins at this point. Now, everyone, everywhere, they're talking about your area, what you may be called. We're called Floridians in Florida, Michiganders in Michigan. Gary is called Syracusians. George is called conchologist. So, I have two check-ins at this point. I have RMO and LCD. Is there anyone else at this point who would like to be added to this list?
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Mr. RMO, and LCD and VXP, stand tall. I'll be checking you in next. Gary, what do you have to share with us this evening? And this has got to be real good from you, so come aboard.
Well, thanks, Kath. I was just thinking now, people from Syracuse are Syracusans, and folks from Rochester are Rochesterians, and those from Utica are Uticans. And I was just wondering about those from Albany, so I'm going east, first west to go to Rochester, and then east to go to Utica, and then further east to go to Albany. Are they Albanians? That's what I was wondering. So we've kind of covered all of the central part of New York State. except for Buffalo, and I guess they're Buffalonians. So, but and those in Findlay Lake are Findlay Lake creatures, I guess. What do they call lovely wife? What do they? No, she doesn't know. Okay, but from Stephanie's roots in Findlay Lake, New York. She's not really sure what the proper terminology is for that, but it's up for discussion. I guess we're going to figure that one out, if anybody ever could figure that out. So we'll turn it back to you. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, Gary, Findlay Lake creatures is not good if that's where Stephanie's from, and she's standing right behind you, so you better be careful. But thanks so much for Buffalonians. Yeah, I'm thinking of some of the different cities and states around the country, and even countries for what they're called. So maybe that's a good fun net to do, is what are you called in your local area. So as long as you're called something good, I guess that's what's important. And of course, we're going a little off our topic this evening, but this is for fun, and hopefully everyone is enjoying this. But LCB, conchologist, I like that. I'm going to add that to your name every time I send something, because I think that is just superb. So, George, come back aboard and share with us anything you'd like to share with us this evening, or maybe it's about what you're called as a conch. KW4LCB, come back aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo. In the last few words of your closing there, of your information there, you a mention of the healing of the land. But, that's just kind of a touch in the surface. And due to the geographics where, I was born and raised up, we had something that the rest of the country needed. We was a source of healing, so to speak. As yourself, you came to the Keys for the diving, and that was a healing from you, for you there in many ways, I'm quite sure. And getting started young at the age of 14 in the charter fishing field, working the boats and all. Many stories from many people through walks of life, and even at a young age, the pay was great. Like I said, at that time I was making more in a week than most people would make in a couple months, and like I said, I learned so much. It was great growing for me there, and someone from all over the country had a chance to unload sometimes. Most of the time it was great, but of course it happens in life at times. You had a couple of people that I wouldn't mind trolling behind the boat for shark bait, and kind of told them straight up I was thinking about it, so that usually straightened them out. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much, George, for coming back aboard and sharing with us. Yeah, it was a good time for the first time to be in Florida, to actually be in the waters and being around the life under the water, because I never thought that was something I would enjoy. But it is very soothing to be under the water and to be around that life. And I didn't often go out on a boat because I always got seasick. So, that was quite a challenge for me, but I enjoyed it. And we're going to talk about, you know, winter at this time of the year, and many areas is a time that way back is when like the pilgrims, and maybe way back that they starved because they didn't have the food or the clothing or the warmth. So things have improved greatly for all of us, and we should all appreciate that, each day. So with that, Mr. N1VXP from Ohio, come back aboard, and thanks for being here tonight, and thanks for your rechecks.
This is N1VXP. I guess you can call me a Chillicothean. That almost sounds too good. I was just thinking, you know, you mentioned about customs. When I was living up in Connecticut, in the Hartford, Connecticut area, I always remember wintertime, they would have the Festival of Lights, which was kind of a big tradition, kind of an introduction into Christmas time with the Christmas decorations put up on the street lights, and one of the it was actually a small plaza area that was lit up, and they actually had all kinds of decorations up. They had Christmas caroling, all kinds of things to do with Christmas, but they considered the Festival of Lights, and that eventually got moved over to one of the Central Park area. And the other activity was what they call First Night. They wanted to do something like with the First Night, which is New Year's Eve, with the Festival of Lights, but they realized it was just too big an activity to be all in one activity. So they branched off and made the New Year's Eve the First Night. All kinds of different activities, food and entertainment, all highlighted by two different fireworks displays, one early in the evening for the kids, and then one at midnight. So traditions are for the Hartford, Connecticut area were basically two. Looked like I timed out. Like I was saying, it all kinds of activities that really people are really happy to be involved in. Kind of wish I could go back, but don't really like to go in the stormy weather. N1VXP back to net control.
Well, thank you, Rick. But yes, you timed out, but that was fine. You came back aboard rather quickly. Some people just keep talking. So, actually I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, different customs in different areas of the country. And actually, Hanukkah is known as that Festival of Lights. And so I wanted to share some of that with everyone. But, I think it's the Eastern Seaboard that right now is getting the ice. I'm not sure about Connecticut, but I know Maine. I heard Mike this morning saying about the ice storm they've had, and that's a very common thing up north, especially when the temperatures aren't cold enough for snow, but is for rain and all that freezing rain. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'd rather just stay in the area I'm in. If I haven't experienced a hurricane, and I may someday, but, not sure if it's better than snow, but I can maybe always move away from that. So, with that, I'm going to pick up a 6 Victor, KY6V. Come back aboard. Thanks for being here. And what do you have to share with us this evening?
Well, thank you, Kathy. Gordon, KY6V. I'm still sitting back thinking about Mr. Ohio up there. Chillicothean. I think that's neat, Rick. Although you sit back, that may have some medical interpretations that we need to think about. Kathy, I just wanted to say, you know, all this hoopla, in the elongated words of the people that are in a particular location, as you know, I was born in the Hawaiian Islands. and we refer to ourselves as Hawaiians. Very simple, very succinct, very much to the point. And you know, we're lovable people, and we like to stay that way. KY6V, back to Net, over.
You know, Gordon, I was just thinking of you in Hawaii, thinking if you did what Gary is doing here, Hawaiian Indians, it would be a mouthful. So thanks for telling us that. It's a very simple, you just add an A-N to the end of Hawaii, and it's simple to come out of your mouth. Thanks to everyone for sharing that. Hoosiers, Buckeyes, Albanians, Utacanians, whatever Gary is coming up with, and conchologists. I appreciate all of you coming aboard and sharing that. Let me continue on, because before I close, I want to actually talk to you a little bit about how safe you need to be in those areas. But let me just give you something with a little bit with traditions and customs. We're going to start winding down here so everyone can enjoy their evening and have a good meal if they haven't eaten yet. The midwinter traditional Yule log lighting is an example of an ancient Celtic fire ritual done at the time of the December solstice. We talked about the Yule log a little bit when we had the trivia. It was believed that to bring the log indoors was a symbolic way of bringing the blessings of the sun god into your house. It was important that the log burn constantly without going out, or else bad luck would follow. Sometimes wine and cider and ale or corn were sprinkled over that Yule log before it was lit. Now the Yule candle, that's a custom I think in most households, is to burn candles, especially at Christmas time, that is lit in many churches at the beginning of the Christmas season, is another example of how pagan rites were absorbed into the Christian religion. The head of the household was allowed to light or extinguish the flame, and an unused remnant was preserved as protection against thunder and lightning. Let me pause for just a moment. Now, in some countries, that Yule candle, you know, the tallow from that Yule candle was rubbed on the farmer's plow to promote fertility in the fields. Today, the electric candles that are displayed in so many American homes at Christmas time reflect the ancient Celtic reverence for the candle as a symbol of light during the darkest time of the year. And we also think of the tree as a symbol of the universe. It is believed that the Christmas tree is derived from the pre-Christian worship. The Romans decorated evergreens and wreaths. They called the evergreen the herb of the sun and favored it during the winter solstice time. Now, today, the popularity of the live-cut Christmas tree has been challenged by the environmentalists. They favor planting a tree around Christmas or the winter solstice instead of cutting one down. So, before I actually go into just a few customs of other countries, anyone else want to check in at this point?
W1 Golf Zulu Echo.
And RMO.
All right, I have two check-ins, Golf Zulu Echo and RMO. Golf Zulu Echo, and I may be wrong, I thought your name was Paul. I know you're coming through Kevin's system, so you must be in the Keys someplace. We're talking about winter time, winter activities, how you like winter. And you are in the Keys, so definitely you're enjoying Floridian winters. But I think you were also from the north someplace. So if I'm wrong with your name, I apologize, but please come aboard, share with us this evening.
No, you got it right. Thank you. And thanks for letting me in here. I was still playing around with this darn antenna. Before I go into winter film, let me just toss out. I had this indoor antenna until I get my outdoor one out, but anyway, I thought I would put it in front of the window, and that would let it get out a little bit better. And I find that my windows I had tinted, and they're aluminized. So my son says they don't trick. He can't get any his stuff through it. So I was blocking it. So I moved my antenna and put a little bit of ground plane on the thing, hoping that it would work out a little bit better. Let me cut this just a bit. And winter, we're from Delaware, Pennsylvania, State College, Connecticut, all the winter states, and we've been down here for 4 years, and I wouldn't go back for anything, I'll tell you. We're big pine tree. And I'd appreciate, from, now Gordon has heard us many times before, I'd appreciate that if we got a signal report from Gordon to see if we, how much noise we got on this thing. Back to that, W1GZ.
All right, thank you so much, Paul, for coming aboard. I knew you were from the north. Wasn't sure of the town. I'm hearing okay. It's a little bit scratchy, but I'm going to throw it over to KY6V and see if he has a suggestion for you and how you sound to him. KY6V, can you come aboard and give Paul a signal report?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Hi, Paul. Gordon here, KY6V. You're doing all right, Tiger. You're not full quieting into Kevin's system. About 10%, I would guess, background noise. But you're very copyable and very comfortable, Paul. How does that sound to you? Over.
Hey, Gordon. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I appreciate it. At least we can use the darn thing. I hate moving it around even more. There's probably a better spot in here for it. But I'm amazed that these windows in Dakota, there's probably 75% reflection or something like that. And they must be Illumini, so they just don't, they shield the RF. So that was really odd. I'm driving myself crazy or something. Now we have it in a position. Thank you very much for the report. I think you'll be able to call in and somebody will hear me. Go ahead.
Well, you know, living down there in the Keys, just open up the window and stick the antenna outside, Paul. Hey, good luck. Go ahead, Kathy, KY6V, back to net.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. It's good hearing you again, Paul. And I know sometime in the future you're hoping to get some internet, and we'd like to sure get you aboard as a member. And once you have that email address, let us know. Nice hearing you, and hopefully you'll come back aboard at any time in the future. And before we close this evening, ladies and gentlemen out there, as I throw it to Gordon to close this evening, he's going to give you some announcements, and some of those about what's happening for our Santa Express and our New Year's Eve special. So, we don't need to talk to you about future programs, but they're all on our website. But with that, let me call on my backup, Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, and see what other comical things he has to share with us this evening. Because actually, ladies and gentlemen, he's finished two courses in college, and I believe he received both A's. So congratulations to you, Gary. So come aboard and share once again with us this evening.
Yeah, I did. And thanks, Kathy, number one. Thank you. That was a tough semester. That was a really tough semester. It was in a way that the previous semester where I was taking the 2 8-week courses was equally as tough, but at least they were 8-week easy courses. You know, this was like, you know, a 15-week and an 8-week, and anybody. I you know, I've always heard ethics courses were a pain, and you know, I had one, a 15-week, which was organizational behavior, which was, you know, pretty straightforward and kind of fun, but this 8-week ethics course, it was communications ethics, and it was like, oh my God, you know, all you do was write, like, all you did was write and write and write and write and write, and she was tough, but we pulled it off, so we got the A in that one too, so that's good. So that was so far, knock on processed wood, we're 4 for 4. We've got 2 A's from last semester and 2 A's from this semester, so we're doing okay. So that's all right. But as far as the Yule log goes, I gave up on trying to get the Yule log upstairs here. It's a raised ranch, and it just doesn't work out. So We're doing artificial Christmas trees and fake fireplaces, so it's okay. But that is, though, I'll seriously, very quickly, throw it in there. If you do come from this neck of the woods, you really do recognize the value of a good wood stove. They use wood stoves and pellet stoves around here, and people heat their entire houses with these things. And even though natural gas is cheap up here, they do it a lot more efficiently with wood, believe it or not. Some people just lay in a whole ton of wood and stay toasty all season long. They just light that stove in November and never turn it off till spring. So that's that for that. And this is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, Gary, thanks for sharing that. You know, you've met Jack, K4JAK. He has a beautiful fireplace, and he heats that up during the cold parts of the time here in South Florida, which isn't that often. I never had a fireplace up north, but the fake ones are always nice to see. My mother always had a wood stove, and I think Paul, WQ1I, has that wood stove. But WA1NXI, he has, a regular, and speak of him, he just all of a sudden connected. I must have that magical thing that, as I call his call sign, he connects. But he has a regular fireplace, and he cuts down his wood on his property, and I think one year, not too long ago, maybe last year, he was burning some green wood, which wasn't that great. But he has quite a story he could share with us about his chainsaw in the tree during this time of the year. So, with that, let me see if I have any check-ins before I start just giving you some information about different areas. Any comments from anyone, anywhere, about what we've talked about. And our topic this evening, Mike, as you connect with us, is about winter, all about winter, and you're in that area where it is definitely winter. So anyone, anywhere, want to come aboard and check in as we start to wind down this evening? So I'm looking for some check-ins. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Car's Global Family Hour, talking about winter. Anyone, anywhere, come aboard.
Victor X-ray Papa, recheck.
All right, we have VXT. Is there anyone else out there who would like to come aboard and tell us any comments about winter in their area, Christmas in their area, what's happening weather-wise in their area? We'd sure like to hear from you. So anybody else at this point before I start winding down and conclude a little bit with the traditions and customs and then actually give you some advice if you're in that winter area? Anybody else at this point that would like to check in?
November X-ray India.
All right. Mike, I was hoping you'd check in so we could hear how things are going up in that winter area up there. That's what we're talking about this evening is winter. And I'm sorry I couldn't talk to you this morning. I was sort of not even connected, but I did hear a little bit of what went on, and I hope you enjoyed what I sent to you. With that, I'm going to pick up these two gentlemen at this point. We have VXP, and we have Mike up in the great state of Maine, and probably the frigid, icy north. And then we'll talk a little more about solstice, and then I'll ask for some final check-ins. So at this point, VXP, come aboard.
This is N1 VXP. Actually, I was just thinking, I have an announcement to make. Probably when you do the final schedule announcements, I would have the continuation on an activity. So I don't know if you want to go ahead and take Mike and pick me up right after you do the announcements on the final check-in in 1TXP.
Okay, Rick, why don't we do it that way? Because I think I know what the announcement you have, and we're looking forward to hearing that. So why don't we do that as I close and turn it over to Gordon, because this will be in the next little while. So thanks for being here, and thanks for coming aboard. So, Mike, WA1NXI, how did the weather turn out today, and how are you doing? And we're talking about winter activities and winter fun and winter weather, and all those things that go along with that nice white stuff. Come aboard and share with us this evening.
Good morning, good evening, Kathy and Rick and everybody else aboard. This is WA1NXI, Mike in the great cold state of Maine. It's not actually real, real cold, Kathy. It's running 26, 27 and raining. And going to have some ice this weekend, I guess, starting tonight. And tomorrow we're going to have a good old ice storm. So that's how winter is at the moment. But I think I've mentioned it a few times on a few of the nets that I have a snowmobile trail running right across our property here, and you know it's winter when you hear them start coming across the lawn. But anyway, I just wanted to jump in and say hello to everybody, and I'll listen here. Sorry I'm late. We went grocery shopping. Of course, you know about Jazz. I appreciate the little card. They had a little poem. That was nice. Other than that, not a lot going on, and it's winter time in Maine. WA1NXI, back to net.
Well, Mike, no one's ever late for South Cars Nets, even if you're there at the very end. So you can listen to it, because, you know, lately we put all the podcasts on the site if, you know, we have space, and normally they'll be there, and they're there rather quickly with the person that puts them there. So if we find it interesting enough, we'll get them on the website. And so if you're ever late or missed it all, you can definitely check into that on our website and pick them up. Oh, the snowmobiles. No one's ever mentioned that tonight. Remember that my whole family, brothers and parents and my son, they just love the snowmobiles and traveling on those. I've done that. Don't want to do it again. I can't stay warm enough. I freeze, and usually when they went out miles and miles. And so if I was cold, I was just out of luck. But you brought that to my mind, snowmobiles. How sometimes they go across your property, disregard your property, and put up those metal little posts to stop them. And sometimes that's not good, because they crash into them, that they can destroy your property. It's a good way to get around, but you know, it's not good for your property. So let me continue on just a little bit further, and then we'll ask for some check-ins as well. You know, I want to tell you about the people in Finland and Norway. They worship the sun goddess of fertility and sanity, which some of us probably don't have. She travels through the sky in a structure made of reindeer bones, with her daughter to herald back the greenery on which the reindeer feed. On the winter solstice, her worshippers sacrifice white female animals and thread the meat onto sticks, which they bend into rings and tie with bright ribbons. They also cover their doorposts with butter so that the sun goddess of fertility and sanity can eat it and begin her journey once again. This doesn't sound too interesting, but this is how the Finnish, the Swedish, and the Norwegians are their custom. And let me pause here for just a moment. Now, Christmas, or what we call Christ Mass, is one of the most popular Christian celebrations, as well as one of the most globally recognized midwinter celebrations in the Northern Hemisphere. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, called the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, as well as Savior of the world. The birth is observed on December 25th, which was the Roman winter solstice upon establishment of the Julian calendar. Activities include feasting, midnight masses, and singing Christmas carols about the Nativity. Good deeds and gift giving in the tradition of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus is also observed. Many observe the holiday for 12 days. No one tonight has talked about Christmas carols. We talked a little bit about that when we had our special on trivia, but that's part of winter as well. Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Lights, is an eight-day Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. Hanukkah is observed for 8 nights, starting on the 25th of Kislev, according to the Hebrew calendar, which may occur at any time from late November to late December in the Gregorian calendar. Hogmanay is in Scotland, is usually New Year's. We also have some celebrations in Russia. So before I close this evening with just talking about some of the things you need to do during wintertime, are there any other check-ins? Anyone, anywhere? And Mr. Gary, sanity? I'm not sure. I don't think you know what it is, but maybe you'd like to share this evening. Anyone, anywhere, from any place in this world, all those ships out at sea. Anyone want to check in before we start winding down this evening? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Net control for our Global Family Hour. Please come aboard.
RMO.
Lima. Charlie Bravo.
And ZXP.
All right, we have three check-ins. RMO, LCB, who I thought was going out to the grill, and VXP. So, Mr. RMO, please come aboard.
Well, I do know what sanity is because I checked my contract, and in it, there is a sanity clause, and here it is, Christmas time, and everybody knows that there's a sanity clause. And with that, I'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
And Gary, I think you said this earlier about the sanity clause, but you better look at that definition once again. You're missing it. With that, let me pick you up, George, KW4LCB. I heard that you were starting that grill. That reminds me, I haven't eaten as well. So come aboard, make some final comments this evening, and share with us.
This is KW4, my Charlie Bravo. I didn't hear you say anything about people checking in from out of this world, so maybe I can get in there anyway. But thank you, Kathy, for the program tonight there. And you know, you're talking about the solstice, you know, and a walk, you know, and the conditions that it brings to us there, and you know, as far as confinements and the different temperatures that arises and all, and what can I say, we're walking in the shadow, you know, and also a lot of you know, things like that. But as we move on, I keep looking at that sunshine. I know it's on the way, and I get a little bit more every day and every day there. And I think it's the first time this month I got up and put a pair of shorts on and my sandals on and a t-shirt, and I walked outside and enjoyed every bit of it. I don't think winter's over with. You know, just don't believe that yet. So I think there's a whole lot more on the way, and enjoy it for what it is. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thank you, George, once again for being here, for listening, and out of this world. I think that's all of us, but thanks for coming back aboard. Enjoy your evening, enjoy your meal, and especially enjoy Christmas, but hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon. Mr. VXP, N1VXP, Rick up there in Ohio, what are your, and this probably is going to be final comments, what are your comments this evening?
This is N1VXP. For those who didn't get on the net this morning, it was really good that Slav had mentioned about the Russian Orthodox Christmas. Actually starts on the 27th and goes for about 2 weeks. Of course, they have Christmas in December, and also they have Christmas in July. Just thought I'd bring that up. And the other comment I have is that on Christmas Eve, on the Dew Drop In conference, node number 355800, they have the Santa Watch, which is a nice little net where they get information as to where Santa is across the country. It's by N3NTV, Dave out of Martin, South Dakota, is the net control. And those who have third party or anybody would like to stop in, they can, like I say, it can be on the Dew Drop In. I don't know if any IRLP link on there at all, but, you know, for those that have Echolink, 6:30 p.m. New Year's Eve is the Santa Watch. And it's quite a little thing. They go from, I think they start out in Europe and eventually come into the United States, and they finish out in the on the West Coast. It takes roughly about 3.5 to 4 hours for the net.
All right, Rick, thanks for sharing that with us, and we'll go through some announcements very, very shortly as we conclude tonight's program. But I do want each and every one of you to know that I appreciate you being here tonight, being part of the program, talking about winter. But, you know, winter, the signs of winter depends on where you are. In some places, snow begins to sprinkle down or dump like it has onto the landscape, painting everything white. You notice a peaceful sort of silence when you walk through the woods, a muffled kind of quiet. It also means shoveling, snow blowing, dealing with bad roads, and sometimes unbearable temperatures. For others, the temperatures become very mild and cool, and Florida fills up with people escaping the harshness of the northern winters. The juncos, known as snowbirds, these are the birds, but also what they're called for those white-haired people who head to Florida from the north, like robins announce spring and snowbirds announce that winter has arrived. But remember, when if you're in the winter area, in the bad weather up north, just think of what you need to be doing. You need to think about how you dress and how you go out and shovel the snow. Think about how much snow you shovel. Get your equipment all figured out so that you don't lose what you need to be plowing that driveway. Be armed with the right tools. Know your physical challenge. And strategize. You know, clean your cars first. Shovel in a rectangle. You know how to shovel the snow. Pace yourself. You know, don't do too much. So, and dress warmly. That's about all I can say. So with this, I hope you enjoyed the program. And I'm going to throw it over to KY6V to make some final comments. And I hope that your winter isn't too bad up there, because ours right now is not. So, and I hope that you don't have any cold. So thank you once again, everyone, for being here and your comments. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So at this point, Gordon, would you like to come aboard, close it, and make some final comments for what's coming up next week? And thanks so much for opening and closing for me. KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
1GXV back to net control.
Okay, well, thank you, Kathy. I'd be happy to. I heard VXP come back in. Rick, did you have a further comments, sir, over?
Not really. Actually, I just found out the weather. 63 degrees. It's gone up another couple degrees in the last hour or so. So our high temperature for the day is 63 and climbing. Kind of crazy for nighttime temperatures. Hope everybody has a good one, and look forward to Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. And 1GXV.
All right, Rick. Well, thank you very much for that. I don't know about you, but 63 would cause a double blanket for me down here, sir. All right, guys and gals, Gordon here, KY6V. Kathy's asked me to round it up with possibly a few announcements. We're still looking for additional people to help us. This SCAR server is just growing in leaps and bounds with membership. we need some additional NCSs and background people in administration, hospitality areas. We'd like to talk with you. Just drop us a line. Our VOIP address, email address, is on the website. We'd love to talk with you and see if we can get together in some kind of a progression. Also, there is still a need for those of you who have some favorite food recipes to ship those off on email fashion to Kathy, K6SUN. Our registered email address will work fine. That's VOIP at VOIPnet.southcars.com. We want to pull together a session on one of these nets in the next month or two, discussing these favorite recipes. So think about it, please. A lot of changes are taking place on our website. We're trying to put a little more pizzazz into the site, a little more color accumulation and comparison. We've added a couple of new pages. So if you haven't recently taken a look at our site, poke your nose in there. See what you think. Tell us about it. And we'll just take all of those comments together and see if we can do anything with it. As far as the schedule coming up, there will be no schedule for Rag Chew tomorrow. I say negative, no schedule. Let me buy a nickel here for a second. We are going quiet on Sunday only because we've got Santa's Express coming up on Tuesday. Santa is coming to town. And we normally have an awful lot of fun with this. I've found in the past 4 years or so that we've been doing this that net runs about 3 hours. Now, you don't have to hang around that long, but we like to talk with the kids, and we like to talk with everybody that is interested in the season and maybe what they want underneath the tree or in front of their front door. And then we'll be doing the same thing for New Year's Eve. We will be belaying, that's a nautical navy term, the Sunday Rag Chew, so that we can put on a special session on the 31st regarding bringing in the 2014 Hip Hurrah and Hooray type session. That's it on that. I have a note here, Rick, that you had an announcement to make. You already said something about the drop-in. Do you have anything else, Rick, before I close it out? KY6V, over.
N1TXV, no, that was the announcement. Just doing the Santa watch. But you mentioned about New Year's Eve. Just curious as to what time the net would be. I noticed you mentioned about it, but you didn't put a time in there, N1TXV.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to ask. But normally speaking, Rick, we run it at about noon. Because, you know, most of us have plans for the evening, going out or having people come in, and so on and so forth. So we try to get the New Year's out of the way so people are somewhat loose and friendly, free for what they need to do. Over.
Very good. I'll definitely pass that around. Try to get other people to maybe check in on New Year's Eve at noon in 1TXP.
All right. Thank you very much, Rick. Appreciate you being there and being such a steady, too. George, if you're still out there, hello, mi amigo. Out of this world was your comment. Remember that the slogan when we stand by for check-ins is anyone, anywhere. Kathy, I want to say to you that Norwegians, now that almost tops Syracuse. Anybody else with anything for the good of the order before we wrap it and put it to bed? If so, call now and give me your suffix kindly, please. Over.
Lima Charlie Bravo.
Lima Charlie Bravo, we've got you, sir. Stand by. Anybody else? All right, Mr. Orange City. What planet are you reporting into this evening or from? Over.
Well, sir, you know, I had to every once in a while come back this way, you know, there just to be with my friends there. And by the way, there, Rick, let me mention it there. If you or anyone wants to get out here on New Year's Eve and spend it with Echolink, so be it there. I don't care if you beat the drum or whatever you do, as long as you don't get a rhythm going there, or they can call it music, but so be it, my friend. A Merry Christmas to you there, Gordon. Yeah, maybe we could catch up, my friend. It's been pushing times, but I'm on a roll and I can't stop now. What can I say? Gonna do it till the cows come home, or till I decide to stay out there on them outer limits. I tracked you there and just waited for you to show up. Just wanted to let you know that. Take care. We need to go back down and put the fire out. Had something going through the net, but we got it done. One more time. KW4, anyway. Charlie Bravo.
Okay. Well, George, let's talk. You know, our time is yours. Find out what your schedule is, and we'll fire up a couple of firecrackers. How about that? Over.
Well, Gordon, I'll try to touch base with you. Schedules, that's not George, you know that. So as soon as I can figure out how I can hook it up, I'll do so. Been working around the porch, getting this put up and getting that put up and this decorated up. And Miss Katie was working inside, and next thing I knew, here was a bunch of rugs sitting out on the front porch. And I just left them lay. I mean, I done had my day planned, what I was going to do, and it sure wasn't involved in shaking rugs, the sand out of rugs. So what can I say? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't put them there. You take care of them. So I'm in the doghouse now, but nevertheless, that's how it goes. Not that I don't mind doing them if they let me know ahead of time, but didn't work out that way. But who knows which way the wind might blow. KW4, even Charlie Bravo.
Well, I understand all that, George. If you think you got a couple of minutes or whatever between the ooies and the owies, we'll be there to shake your paw. Hey, what's this I heard before I close the net on Deuce and the Alaskan Princess? Are you expecting puppies, or is it too early to tell? Over.
Well, Gordon, I've been expecting puppies from the day I went on over on the West Coast and picked her up there. Last year, you know, I tell you what, she had me dancing in the moonlight, you know, and come to be a false goal. But what can I say? You know Deuce, and you know her. Seemed like they had a I stroll in the midlight, maybe it was that solstice or, you know, something like that, fertility, but, you know, I think that's a bunch of garbage anyways. When, you know, you put the lime in the coconut and you shake it all about, you know, what can I say? But I've seen them get together twice there, so if it works, I'm happy. You know, it's gonna be some awesome animals. Ain't no doubt about that.
Boy, I sure agree with that too. Those two breeds getting together is just gonna be glorious. All right, Mr. Torres, thank you, sir. Anybody else for the good of the order? We're about to make it a rep-rap, over.
DFP real quickie.
Bill, you rascal. Sure nice hearing you check aboard tonight. You'll get that back, that other eye back, and you'll be able to see the other three strings on your guitar before you know it. Over.
Yeah, I sure hope so. I just wanted to break in and say, it's been a long time since I heard George, not because he wasn't around, but because I just hadn't been checking in, so I wanted to say hi to my neighbor George, and in some of the talk before about the different states, I noticed we lived in Ohio at one time, and I don't think they call you Ohioans there. They call you Buckeyes, and I think that's why we moved out of the country right after we found out that a Buckeye is a useless nut. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. Good to talk to you again, Gordon and George. We'll sign out here and have a good evening, W4DFP.
I love that comment. Thanks, Bill. And appreciate you being there, sir. Before I close, VXP, do you have any comments relative to the comments that were just made about an Ohioan? Over.
N1PXP. Can't remember all of them, but I do remember somebody said a Buckeye, carry a Buckeye in your pocket, and something about having good luck. Haven't really researched it at all. Been here 8 years almost, and something I got to look into. N1PXP.
All right, you guys. Thank you. All right, anybody else? We're about ready to have the fat lady sing, KY6V for South Cars. All right, good night, everybody. Have a great evening and a super tomorrow. Again, there will be no rag chew mañana tomorrow. It's being rescheduled for the 24th for Santa's Express. This has been South Cars. South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIPNet schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session this evening has been Kathy, K6SUN. Thank you, Miss Sunshine. And we appreciate everything, 73s, and we are closing the VOIP session. Thank you for your participation, and the net is now closed. KY6V clear.
K5.